Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I am Christopher Tyler, and on the phone with me, as always, is Damian Arsenis from pickandroll.com.au. Damian, welcome to the show once again, my friend.
Always good to be on the show, and it's great to talk about some basketball. We're going to cover a lot of hoops today from all across the globe.
And we want to start off by talking about the younger kids, the underage kids, the emus and the gems. What can you tell us, Damo?
The Gems, they've progressed to the qualify for the 2017 Under-19 World Championships next year. They were just sensational in Fiji the last week. They weren't just convincing, they devastated the opposition. Their average winning margin in going on to win the gold medal was 106.4 points a game. So they were the heavy favourites. They were stacked with most of the side that won the gold medal at the Under-17 World Championships, and they just absolutely blitzed everyone. They won the final by something like 55 points, I think it was, against New Zealand. So
who are some of the names that we're talking about here?
Yeah, so we've got Chantal Horvat. She averaged 18.6 points a game, leading all the scorers at the event, but Australia had six of the top 10 scorers in the event, given how well they lit it up. So you're talking Jasmine Shelley, Abby Cubillo, Monique Conti, who's playing WNBL as well, Jasmine Simmons, Sam Simons, Kira Rowe, Ezzie McMeager and Lara McSpadden. And now with all the world championships from the under-17, so there's a lot of good players. And the game MVP is the Tina Alcuso, I think is how you pronounce it. She had a big effort in the grand final that got her the MVP. So Australia did well there. But unfortunately, our men bombed out against New Zealand in the final.
Oh, what are the boys doing?
Yeah, I know. Well, look, we were missing a host of stars because they're all playing off in college. So we're talking William McDowell-White, Harry Froling, Deng Gak, these kind of guys. They were all able to play, but they weren't available. And if you look at New Zealand's side, they were stacked with talent as well. It was always going to be a really, really close contest. Because you've got to remember, the last time around, Australia got over the line thanks to a Dejan Vasiljevic three-pointer at the death. So that's how close these teams are. And, you know, New Zealand got over the line with a couple of three-pointers down the stretch themselves. And unfortunately for Australia, it's going to be the first time they have ever missed an Under-19 World Championship.
Now, we have harped on a lot about how exciting the future of Australian basketball looks, but the future of New Zealand basketball looks very, very promising as well, if not just as much as the Australian the younger players coming through. If you have a look at college, New Zealand have a lot of players coming through that that could be very solid players in the coming few years.
They certainly do, and you just have to look at who they were missing as well. They were missing a certain player, Ty Webster at Nebraska. He's been an absolute star for the Huskers, and they were missing him. They probably weren't missing as many players of the same kind of calibre as Australia was, but you're right, they've got some outstanding talent over there, and they're going to do good things over the next decade as well, just like Australia will, and that rivalry will be set to continue. Understanding the qualification system moving forward does change slightly as we do merge with Asia moving forward.
So let's move on to college basketball and get to a few of the Aussies that we want to talk about this week. And the first one is Jordan Hunter, who doesn't get much game time, Damo, but when he does, he's special. Or at least in this case, he is.
He certainly made an impact last week. So after St. Mary's lost their first game of the season, they lost to, I think they were ranked 12 at the time, and they were upset by UT Arlington. In their follow-up game, they obviously bounced back, and they destroyed UC Irvine. And in that game, just before halftime, Jordan Hunter got a steal at half-court, launched it, and drained the half-court bomb for an absolute highlight reel that, if you want to see that, get onto the Pick and Roll website at pickandroll.com.au to check that out. But, yeah, that was a massive highlight. And, of course, for St. Mary's, it's all been about Jock Landau this season. He's just been absolutely outstanding and continues to pile on the points. And he's the leading Aussie scorer in college hoops right now. But another guy up and coming, some freshmen made their mark in college hoops this week. And it's freshman guard Dejan Vasiljevic. Sorry, I think that's how you pronounce it. He had an absolute blinder, career-high 17 points in Miami's blowout of South Carolina State. And he's definitely a sharp shooter that we've all got to keep an eye on over the next few years, because he's done really well for Australian juniors. And then another guy we really haven't talked much about at all, big 7-foot-1 man, Liam Thomas from Nichols. He was one block shot away from recording a rare triple-double. He had 14 points, 10 rebounds and an amazing 9 block shots, which broke his own school record, which previously stood at 7. So there's some guys to look out for. And, you know, Chima Manike as well. He had a 24-point and 10-rebound double-double last week. So the Aussies are doing really well.
All right, let's move on to a former college athlete who was one of my favourites when he was playing college, and that is Brock Modem, who now plays in Europe, and he is looking fantastic at the moment, Damo.
He has come off the Olympic campaign in outstanding form. We've touched on him a couple of times this year so far, but he's doing it, and he's doing it consistently. I think if there was anything about his move to Zalgiris Kaunas last season was that he probably wasn't consistent enough. Well, he's dispelling all that this year. He's delivering each and every single game. Last week, he had, you know, we talk about Paddy Mills. Paddy Mills had 16 points in 16 minutes last week for the Spurs. Well, Brock Modem bettered that. He had 18 points on 7 of 12 shooting in just 14 minutes on court. That's just amazing. And he's been doing it all season long as his team sits atop the Lithuanian standings in Europe. And really, you got to ask yourself, is the NBA going to come back calling next year for him?
No, we'd hope so, because his senior season at Washington State was very, very strong. He was kindly regarded as strong for his team as Matthew Dellavedova was for St. Mary's. They were both coming out at the same time. I thought both of them had a chance to get drafted. Obviously, in the end, neither of them did, but Dally got the opportunity that Brock didn't. Mm-hmm. I thought that Brock could have definitely got an NBA gig as he was coming out of college there. If I'm having a look back at his stats from these Washington State days, his senior season, he averaged 18 points a game. He averaged, where are the rebounds? 6 rebounds a game. His junior year, same sort of thing, 18 and 6. There's some strong numbers for a decent side who played against some decent competition. He can certainly prove, or he has proved that he can play against some big-time players, and I just hope the opportunity comes up for him once again.
Yeah, well, and he's been doing that. His team plays in the EuroLeague, so he is going up against the best players in Europe every week, and some of those guys should be playing in the NBA, such as the talent that he's coming up against. So he's definitely someone to keep an eye out that I'm sure the NBA scouts are looking out for next season.
So let's move on our attention to the NBL, where we are, what, 11 weeks into the season so far, is it? 11?
Yeah, I think we're into week 11.
Week 11 at the moment, and it's still as close as it pretty much has been the entire season. We're still waiting for a team to either drop away considerably or pull away considerably. None of those things have really happened. It's a very topsy-turvy season where teams go from first to fifth and back up to the top again in very short order, but it makes for fun watching, definitely.
It does. So if we look at the top of the table, Sydney Kings, they've probably been the only consistent over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. They're 10-7 record. And we're talking about a team that's in first place, 10-7. They're only 3 losses away in that scheme of thing, only a couple of losses away from being 50% record. And then when you go to the bottom of the table, the Cairns Taipans have currently got that mark. They're 6-8. So there's virtually no difference between first and last place. That's how close the competition is this season. Second place, you've got Adelaide, 8-6. Illawarra, 8-7. Perth, 7-7. Melbourne, 7-8. Brisbane, 7-8. New Zealand Breakers, 7-9. There is nothing separating, virtually nothing separating first and last. And, you know, it's certainly said in the last week, and Andrew Gaze came out and said it, this is arguably the closest NBL season ever.
Yeah, and which makes it so entertaining. You see so many leagues around the world, including the AFL and the NBA and so many more other leagues, trying to make sure that the competitive balance is there, and they can't quite achieve it. The NBL has achieved competitive balance where, seriously, this far into the season, 11 weeks in, we're up to week 11 at the moment, and still anyone can make the playoffs and anyone can win the championship still.
Yeah, well, right now, you couldn't pick a winner.
Exactly.
You could say Sydney have been most consistent, but they're 10-7. They're nearly a 50% record. So really, right, it's going to come down to which team gets hot in the finals, ultimately, and which team can withstand the injury curse. And we've already seen that with Perth. Perth has really been hit by the injury curse. Melbourne United, we just heard that David Anderson's going to be out for a few weeks now. So, you know, injuries could play a big role in the run to the finals.
Just before we finish up, Damo, we want to touch on Ben Simmons. We do have a Ben Simmons update for everyone. He's out of the moon boot, Damo. He was shooting free throws at training the other day. Still probably a while away from playing if he does this season, which I think there is still hope that he could come back. But at least there's some positive news for Ben Simmons in the camp there at 76ers.
It's certainly great news for Ben Simmons and the Sixers that he's been able to get onto a basketball court without a boot on. He hasn't done that since training camp, basically. So this is great news, a great step forward, literally. And it's good that he's out in the court. And, well, we don't have an accurate time yet of when he's going to get there because he's only had limited action on the court. All he's done is shooting drills, basically. No movement, no shooting off the dribble, just standard shooting on the court, so spot shooting. Great sign, but he's still got a lot of work to go over the next month to even consider when he'll be back playing.
That's it, mate. That brings us to the end of the show today. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We can find all your stuff at Damien Arse Tennis, as well as on pickandroll.com.au, and you can hit up all the Pick and Roll social media channels if you head to facebook.com/pickandrollau and on Twitter at pickandrollau. You can find all my stuff at Christos Tyler. Damien, thank you for joining us, and we'll catch up again next week.
Yeah, we'll have to have a Christmas edition next week.
Looking forward to it, mate. Chat to you then.